7 verses 1 to 7. This morning was my turn to preach, but I decided to instead ask Brother Dwayne Nell to share his testimony with us. I know this is a little different, but I don't believe we have to have services in a cookie cutter approach that everything has to be exactly the same every time. If you look at Scripture, we see, as we read Scripture, much of it is testimony of how God worked through men, or how sometimes testimony of how they didn't listen to God. And as we read this testimony, like we've been reading in Acts, this testimony has great application to us. And I'm sure Brother Dwayne's testimony will impact us for God's glory and our edification. Some of what Brother Dwayne shares will reflect the testimony of Sister Dina and also the whole family. And I know Sister Dina would feel comfortable sharing with you one-on-one her testimony if you ask her. I remember meeting with the family. It might have been a couple days after Dwayne went into the hospital. And as I met with them, I saw a family that was determined to prevail through God's strength alone. I saw a family that had a strong faith and confidence that God would be with them through the trial. And yes, there was hurt and there was concern in their eyes, but their trust in God was what carried them through this valley. Let's read from 2 Corinthians 7, verses 1 to 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we came unto Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. With these thoughts on our mind, those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
I'd like to say good morning to everyone. Thank you for coming. This is difficult for me to sit here in front of you and share. I don't want to bring any glory to myself. That's not why we're here. It's not about me. It's about you, the church, praying, giving, and as we experience your giving, your praying, and how that moved in my life and how we were able to serve others. That's what it's about. It's not about me. And if I lift myself up this morning, I do not want to do that. I want to lift up Jesus Christ and him crucified, because if he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. First of all, I would like to give special thanks to several individuals, but most of all to God, our Heavenly Father. He is faithful. He is true. He's our friend. what we do without a loving Heavenly Father. You might ask the question, or skeptics might ask the question, well, how can you say our Father is loving? And here I sit in a wheelchair, not able to walk. How do you explain that? I don't know if I can fully explain it, but I'll try. We believe nothing happens by accident, right? Nothing is an accident in the life of a believer. All things are by design. God does things, allows things into our lives for our good and for His glory. And if we believe that, that gives purpose. There is a purpose. And there is a reason for that. I'm not sure I've figured out the reason yet. I've seen things happen that God has worked in my life and in the life of others. But as God allows things into our life that we don't understand, we can trust Him because He knows what He is doing. And with that purpose and with that reason, we look for opportunities to serve. That's a wonderful blessing that God brings into our life. We're able to look for ways to encourage others. So a special thanks to our Heavenly Father for allowing this. I don't understand it, but I trust Him. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, He can heal me. He can heal any one of us here this morning that are in need. There's no doubt that He can do it. The question is, if He chooses to do it, and when that will happen. It's in His timing, and it's in His will. I pray every day for a miracle. And I know a lot of you here are praying as well. But pray within His will and within His timing. I'd like to thank my wife and family. What would we do without family? They're so precious. Wife stood by me every day. A family every day. What would we do without family? I would like to thank our church family for the many cards, letters, text messages, prayers, financial support. The opening scripture that Brother Ray read, verses 6 and 7, I just want to reread that. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Now the Apostle Paul here mentions a specific person. And I hesitate to do that for fear that I might miss some. But I'm going to briefly mention four individuals that have been a tremendous encouragement to me as we were going through this struggle. Brother Larry, Brother Brian, and Brother Lester, and Brother Mike. They have stood by me in a way that I just could not believe. They were there. Text messages every day from one of these dear brothers. That means a lot. When you are alone at night, technology is a wonderful tool. You can reread those text messages. You can look at pictures that are sent. It gives you encouragement. I want to thank not only these four brethren, but all of you that have stood by me in your prayers. The doctors and nurses, there is a new appreciation for those people, for the medical profession. They have a heart for people. They have a compassion for people. I never spent a day in the hospital in my life. Never spent a night in the hospital in my life. And I've seen the compassion of doctors and nurses that I have never, ever experienced before. The way they care for us. The way they just pour their lives into the well-being of other people. The therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, recreational therapists. I have a new respect for these people. They have done a wonderful work in my life, and I've seen them work in the lives of other people as I went through rehab. They are amazing. What would we do without them? I thank God for people that have been trained and have a compassion for their patients, that they put their whole lives into making people be able to get better. When Brother Ray mentioned Shirley going to therapy, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have these people to bless us in our lives. I want to thank the businesses and individuals of this community that gave so graciously for me to buy a special track chair so I can get out and enjoy the outdoors. People that I have never met. I never met them. I don't know them. Businesses that have contributed, given money so we could be able to get outdoors and enjoy that. Again, the giving and the generosity have gone far beyond or exceeded what we were even able to ask or think. I praise God for those who are willing to give, and we feel so indebted. We will never ever be able to pay you back what you have invested in our lives. I have a deeper appreciation now for all who help, for this congregation. And I have a greater compassion for those who are going through trials in their life. It's a little different when you've gone through the trial, you've gone through the fire. Puts things in a little different perspective. I can't imagine what the parents of that young boy are going through right now. God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for us. Even though we get down, we get weary, we get discouraged, we cry. I don't want anyone here to think that I'm some super holy Christian or our family has it all together. It's far from it. I struggle and we struggle with the same things that every one of you struggle with. We're familiar with low times in our lives. When we get down and we cry. And we ask why. Why are you allowing this into my life, Lord? We've experienced that. As anyone handicapped can testify, it's not easy. It's not a joyful thing to be handicapped. Actually, it's a real pain to try to accomplish things, to try to do things. And then you have to have someone else to help. It seems like you're a bother to them. So it's not easy. Trials are not easy. If they would be, they wouldn't be called trials. But God is gracious, and He gives us the ability to bear the trial, bear the burden. It's because of God's grace and support of friends and family like you that make it possible. We realize that there are more than just physical trials to go through. We see the physical trials. We see the physical aspect of it easy because it's visible. It's right out in the open. You can't miss it. But you know, there are emotional trials and there are spiritual trials as well that can be just or more difficult to go through than what we are experiencing physically. We need to be aware of that. There are trials right now within this congregation that some of us don't even know anything about. Spiritual warfare, spiritual trials, deep emotional battles. And we think of you. Our heart goes out to you as well, because we know that it's not fun. It's not easy. It's not what we would have chosen for our lot in life. And we ask the question, why? Why are you doing this to me? I don't want to spend a lot of time in going over exactly what happened. We'll just hit some highlights and share some thoughts. It was on Thursday morning, June the 4th. I was getting ready for work and noticed some discomfort in my buttocks a little bit, some cramping, and I thought that was kind of unusual. I felt a little bit nauseated. I actually called Dustin that morning and wasn't sure if I was able to go to work. But after a few minutes, I was up and it felt better, and I called him back and, yeah, we'll go to work. So we were working in Westminster that morning, Westminster, Maryland. And as the day progressed, we got the job about 7 o'clock. And as the day progressed, I kept losing more and more control of my legs. Eventually, I laid down. I was afraid that I would actually lose control to the point where I would fall and break my leg or something serious would happen. I thought it was very interesting that at no point in time did I become anxious or panic, there was no feelings of anxiety. I can only give credit to the Holy Spirit and the Lord for keeping me calm. I did mention to Dustin as I was laying there on the floor, you might want to hurry just a little bit to get the job done so we can get out of here. We did finish the job, and I needed help to actually get up out. We were working in a basement. I needed help to get up out of the basement, up the basement steps, across the back of the house. Dustin was helping me, and finally it got to the point I just couldn't go anymore. I said, Dustin, I'm finished. I can't go another step. So he bends down and he said, hold on, Dad. I said, I'll carry you. He carried me to the truck as I thought about that. Isn't that a picture of God's grace? When we cannot take another step, we just can't go. We're done. And He picks us up in His arms. He carries us. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have strong children, strong men, and can pick us up and carry us around and take us where we want to go, where we need to go. But it's more wonderful to have a mighty God pick us up in His everlasting arms
and carry us through. Dustin drove me to the Hanover Hospital. We met Dina, met us there. We didn't know what was going on. The doctors asked 100 questions, went through an MRI, blood tests. Had no clue what was going on. And I remember taking Dina's hand and saying, this might be it. I didn't know if it was the end or not. I said, this might be it. It might be the end. But I looked at her and said, we've had a good run. There's some things I wish I could have done differently in my life. But God is gracious. He gave us 36 years together. And we had a good run. It didn't take long for the people at Hanover Hospital, the medical team there, to decide that this was far in over their heads. So they asked me if I wanted to go to York or Harrisburg. I said York, because it was closer for everyone, for us to be there. They admitted me to York Hospital late Thursday night. Spent several days there, all kinds of tests. Anybody that's been in the hospital can relate to that. The most dreaded test that I've experienced there was the MRI, when they run you in that tube. Didn't realize I was so claustrophobic, but it was bad. It was really bad. And I asked for special prayer when they went to do that. And I want to let you know that your prayers made it possible for me to complete the MRI. Thank you so much. I could not have done it without your prayers. After several days in the York Hospital, they come to the conclusion, found out what it was that caused my legs to be paralyzed. It's called a spinal stroke. Infarct to the spine. They don't know where the blood clot came from. They had no idea where it went. And they said the percentage of recovery from this type of accident or this type of injury is 3%. So there wasn't much hope as far as recovery. So they admitted me to the Wellspan Rehab Hospital there in York. Wonderful place, good people, good personnel. After I was there several days, I developed a urinary tract infection. So they sent me back to the York Hospital. We were so disappointed. Thought we were making headway. Thought we were getting somewhere. We were out of the hospital. We were starting to do therapy. And now this. We were so discouraged. Up to this point, we've been crying out to God for some kind of confirmation. Lord, just give us something to hold on to. We were crying out to God. It just seemed like nothing was happening. Nothing was changing. We weren't getting anywhere. And now, the UTI and back to York Hospital. Well, God had a plan. And I've shared this with some individuals here at church, but I think I'm going to share it again because God had a plan. He was going to show us something that was beyond our imagination. As I got into York Hospital, they readmitted me through the emergency room, and everyone that goes into the York Hospital was checked for COVID. They were tested for COVID. And while they were waiting for the results of that test to get back, we were placed in an area in the hospital with all the other people that were tested that were coming into the hospital. So So we had to wait to get the results of the COVID test back before they could move us from there. It was on a Sunday around lunchtime. They came in with the test results, which were negative. So they were able to move me down the hallway to a different area of the hospital. So they moved me about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon and rolled me down the hall and into a room. And I noticed this was a double room with there was two beds in the room. And, you know, right away you're thinking, who's going to be in here with me? And, you know, those kinds of thoughts are going through your mind. You know, how's this going to work? And so they rolled me in and I didn't see who was in the room. And there was a curtain separating the beds and they rolled me over to the other side there, and my wife was there with me, and she stayed till about 8 o'clock. Went home, and it was about that time that the man in the next bed, I called it the three-ring circus, started to happen there. Nurses in and out, lights on and off, a lot of commotion going on, and I'm sitting, laying there in bed and thinking, you know, I'm about ready to go to sleep. Didn't look like I'm going to get much sleep that night because of so much commotion going on. This poor man in the next bed he's diabetic. He had cellulitis and a fever of 104.8. I did get permission from this man to share this story. So we're okay with that. Had no clue who this man was. He's lying there. They have him, they're trying to cool him down. They're trying to get his temperature down. Ice packs on him, under his arms. Ice packs on his legs. They have a cooling blanket there, a fan blowing on him. And he is just shivering. You can hear him shivering in the bed next door, right next to mine. Pleading with the nurses, give me 5 minutes, please. Just let me warm up, please. I'm laying there, pitying myself, thinking about the lack of sleep that I have coming that night. Self-pity. For 2 hours, I laid there, pitying myself, listening to this man begging with the nurses. Shivering. One thing I noticed is that not one word of profanity came out of his mouth. He didn't ridicule the nurses. He's very kind to them. But he was under severe agony going through this. And there I'm laying, listening, 2 hours. Well, I got to thinking, the Lord was starting to work in my life, my heart. Holy Spirit was starting to move. He says, why are you here? We are taught that God puts us in specific places at specific times for specific reasons. We believe that, right? We all believe that. So why has God chosen to put me at this place at this time? I started asking myself these questions. And poor man's laying over there suffering. This is about midnight. This all happened. I said, God, what do you want me to do? Simple question. What do you want me to do? The answer was just as simple. Pray. Pray for him. Well, that's not too hard. I've prayed for people before. Didn't know the man, so I spoke through the curtain and said, hey, how are you doing? Oh, well, that was obvious how he was doing. It's a pretty bad way. I said, I asked him his name. He said, his name is Dave. I said, Dave, I said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I also believe in the power of prayer. Can I pray for you? He said, I'm a believer also. Whoa, this is interesting. This is good. So I prayed. I don't even remember the exact words I prayed. It doesn't matter. It's not about what I prayed. I remember mentioning how the desire of our hearts was that the Holy Spirit would come and anoint him, and that the doctors and nurses would have wisdom to see what was going on and make wise choices. And after the prayer was done, he thanked me, and I'm still praying silently. I'm thinking, I'm way in over my head. I need help. Who do you call at midnight to pray? I'm sure there would have been individuals here that would have been willing. But my thoughts turned to Brother Sam Booker in Alaska. There are 4 hours time difference, so that would have been 8 o'clock. Brother Sam is a nurse. He would know exactly the situation and how to pray. So I asked Dave next in the bed next to mine, I said, Dave, do you mind if I call this fellow in Alaska and ask him to help pray? He said, I don't mind. So I texted Sam. A few minutes later, he texted me back. He said he'll pray. So we were praying. The nurses were coming in and out. It was quite a, you know, every so often they come in, 5-10 minutes, they come in and check on Dave. And after we had started praying, about 10 minutes later, a nurse come in and heard her say something to Dave. She said, hey, she said, this is interesting. Your temperature is coming down. It's 2 points less than what it was just a bit ago. And a little while later, she came in again. It's down another 2 points. So I text Sam back. I said, keep praying, brother. We're heading in the right direction. A little while later, I heard the nurses discussing an IV that they had Dave hooked up to. I said, this is really funny. She said, normally in this situation, we give him 200 milliliters, forget the term they use, 200, and we're only giving him one. The doctor's only prescribed 100. Let's change it to 200. So they did. By 6:30 Monday morning, his temperature was normal. Praise God for the miracle. Prayer works. It's not the end of the story. My wife came in Monday morning, mid-morning she came in. She got to talking to this Dave guy, asking a little bit. I couldn't see him. She was sitting where she could see him a little bit. She was talking with him. Where are you from? Thomasville. Where at in Thomasville? Said Meeting House Road. We live on Meeting House Road. She said, which house? He said, the trailer. Right across the street, it was my neighbor. I never knew it. God can work things in a miraculous way above which we can even think or even imagine. It's my neighbor. When we found that out, it was just like the gates of conversation just poured open. And it was just, we were back and forth, and he was so excited, and so was I. Time's getting away, so I'm going to try to, I'm only on my second page of notes, and I have 9 pages, so we can make this go a long time. We're not going to. I'm going to wrap it up here. Here's some things that I thought about. I mentioned before, God puts us in specific places at specific times for specific reasons. I have a question. Are we watching for the opportunities that God places in front of us? It was right there. It was right there in front of me, And I failed to see it for 2 hours. I failed to see it. The Holy Spirit's going to guide us to those opportunities. Are we aware of His presence and His leading in our lives? Are we aware of that? Are we taking advantage of those opportunities? Another thing I thought about, as long as I was focused on myself, nothing happened. Self-pity gets in the way of the leading and working of the Holy Spirit. We need to get rid of self. We need to surrender ourselves to what God has in mind. Get rid of self. Grace was not given until self was out of the way. And I asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? His grace was not given until that was taken care of. God orchestrated times and events in a miraculous way to allow me to be at the right place at the right time. For that to happen, with anyone else in charge, would have been an impossibility. If I would have known that Dave was there and needed prayer and needed someone to come alongside, and I would have tried to make that happen, it's impossible. Impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Praise His name. He can make it happen. He can orchestrate events in our lives, put us at a specific place, at a specific time, for a specific reason. He can orchestrate that. Are we open? Are we available when that happens? Are we discerning? The Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. He will open the way. He will show us when and what to do. Number 6, prayer is a powerful tool in reaching others with the love of Christ. Don't be afraid to pray for someone. Pray audibly. Pray with them. Pray about them to a loving Heavenly Father. Many opportunities were given as we went back to rehab after that experience. Doors were open. I was amazed at how many doors and opportunities were open just to encourage someone, to have prayer with them. I would just encourage us this morning to keep on what you're doing. You're doing a wonderful work. You're supporting others. You're following the leading of His Holy Spirit. Now, I'm still trying to learn the lessons that He's teaching me. I have not attained yet. I'm still trying. I'm not sure. There's so much more to share, but I think we're going to draw it to a close here. Is there something in our lives that is impeding or is hindering the work of the Holy Spirit? That's hindering the grace of God, His sufficient grace, from flowing into our lives? Think about that. We hear about irresistible grace, part of Calvinism, irresistible grace, but I believe we can resist it. I believe God's grace can be resisted. Is there something in our heart that is hindering the grace of God and His Holy Spirit to work and move in our lives? Thank you for your attention, your time. God bless you. Keep looking up, for He's soon going to come back for His bride. God bless you. Who's going to?
Brother George.
A lot of thoughts go through my mind. I don't know, Dwayne, was that the first trip you made to Alaska with us? Brother Dwayne and I and our wives made our first flight to Alaska together. A lot of memories there. We walked, I just remember us walking different places, doing things. Later, Brother Dwayne shared a passion of mine with me, and we went, my son and Dwayne and I went to watch the beginning of the Iditarod sled dog race. One of my passions is dogs and sled dogs. And he went up with me, and we had a pretty good time. We were up there several times together. And I guess it's an irony. One trip up, there's a boy named Israel Hale that was in a bad accident. A car hit him and pinned him. His legs were cut off. His life was saved, but Brother Dwayne built that ramp at his folks' place so he could get up and down the ramp. Now we see Brother Dwayne understands what that ramp is for. You know, it's kind of an irony. But my thought goes back to the first time Dwayne and I, we walked. We took that trip and we walked in Alaska. And what I'm getting at is, you know, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming soon. Probably not today. I'm not a believer in pre-trib and so on, but he's definitely coming soon. I just want to close reading this scripture in Thessalonians. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we're to comfort one another with these words. And what I was thinking while Dwayne, one of the main thoughts I had was, just as we took that first flight and those first steps we took in Alaska, I wonder if Brother Dwayne and I will take that first trip, you know, without a plane into the sky because of all that's happening around us. I don't know if the Lord's going to heal Brother Dwayne before that. I'm praying for that. But I guarantee when Jesus comes, you're not going to walk, you're going to fly. We can thank God. We have this to comfort us. We have a Lord that is alive, and he's coming again. Anyone who is able, please kneel as we pray.